Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again
with Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League on FNTSY, and I am joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba. You can find him on Twitters at BDNTrick. The Bench with Bubba podcast is the flagship of all of the podcasts that he does. Bubba, what's going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Thanks for having me back once again this week, reminiscing or kind of crying together about what is the NFL season already.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was not a great weekend for me. So Ben Roethlisberger, who is a year older than me, has been the quarterback for probably 50% of my life at this point. So it's just seeing him go down with the elbow injury was tough. And I was like, what is he grabbing his elbow for? Come on, man. Because he always has an injury, right? He always has something. So I can't tell when he's looking for sympathy or when he's actually hurt. And a lot of people say, well, he's just a tough guy. I don't know how much of a tough guy he is, but I can tell you what, he loves playing football. So knowing that he can't play football for a year, I know that it's devastating for him. I thought maybe that was going to be a wrap for him. I was like, oh God, because that's how Terry Bradshaw ended. Obviously, I don't remember that, but I've been told that over and over and over. So Terry Bradshaw went out on an elbow injury, but you know, whatever. Here I am crying about this and your team, one of the four games you miss against the spread, 10-4 this week, Bubba.
There's a lot more green on the sheet this week. I was very happy to open this file. I'll be totally honest. I almost feel like, you know, C's get degrees. I might be slightly better than a C this week. It's amazing.
Yeah, you were real good against the spread. 10-4, 6-8 on the over unders and 23-19 on the props. And we did just flat out skip a game. I don't know how.
I know. I was thinking about that. That's one of the games I liked the most this week, and I'm like, yeah, crow.
Yeah, the Niners and the Bengals, we accidentally skipped for whatever reason. I guess it was just, you know, the cadence that I was going at. I think I was so excited to talk about whatever the game under that was, the Lions and the Chargers.
Lions is a barn burner. It makes so much sense.
Right, which, you know, that game wound up being real bad, but I don't know why. You know, there's no explaining it. But then after, he goes out, Big Ben goes out, and I'm kind of nervous. You know, of course, the Steelers then go ahead and lose that game too at home against Seattle. Rudolph didn't look horrible, but there was a big call in that game. I don't know how much you watched it, but has me lamenting this replay system for the defensive pass interference, because they even used that one on, Sunday Night Football. They said, well, I don't know why you would reverse this call, because I don't know that there's anything egregious here. And then this call they didn't reverse, where Julio Jones got tackled or DeAndre Hopkins got tackled or somebody. And so it's another weird situation. Did you see any of that stuff?
I saw a few of the replays. I know it's been going on Twitter since they started using it in the preseason that this defensive PI thing's a joke. I think it even happened in the Bears game or something. There's a few of them that are just, it's so bad. There's a point where replay is great and I get it, but like, you know, touchdown calls, first down calls, whatever. But when we're talking pass interference, like there's head coaches that have flat out said, we're designing plays just to throw it up. Like the old Joe Flacco play. You probably saw that many times.
Oh my
God. Let's just have my guy run deep and throw up, because it's like 90% of the time he's going to get a PI on this.
And won a team a Super Bowl. I mean, look, Flacco was also outstanding in that Super Bowl.
Well, he's elite. Let's be fair.
Well,
he's
elite. I don't want to do this. So I don't want to do this. So, but God damn it. He's absolutely not elite, but he was elite in that postseason. He was very, very good. But also, you know, it's the, go long and I'll throw it to you and hopefully we'll get, because it's a spot foul. And a lot of people have talked about taking that away and doing like the college rules where it's only 15 yards instead of being a spot foul. I don't know what the solution is. All I know is that it aggravated me this weekend, but I'm not going to make Look, I'm not going to be a Saints or a Seahawks fan and blame the referees for stuff. So
to be fair, the Saints got screwed hard again.
They did.
Like,
right.
Why do these refs blow the whistle? How have they not figured this out yet? Let the play play.
Let it play.
Like, how is this hard to figure out? I don't get it. It's unbelievable.
Well, maybe if you gave them a full year's salary, they would understand more instead of making them be bus drivers or whatever they're doing in the offseason, or, you know, being Uber guys or whatever it is, you know.
They're working with minor league baseball players.
Oh, that's God. What they're doing. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, at least the minor league baseball players, you know, they play, what, 3 or 4 months? You know, these guys got 5 to 6 months of this, depending on if they go into the playoffs. But I don't know. I'm not going to cry for them either. To be honest, I could do with any amount of replay if the replays took 30 seconds. If they were capped at 30 seconds, there was a dude in New York, just he sees the play, he watches it once, maybe two times, he phones down to the ref and says, "You guys screwed that up. Take it down to the 40. This is the time on the clock and that's it. Let's roll." Instead of 8 minutes. One of those replays was 8 minutes long.
Well, that's what's so dumb about it. It's these guys, because they do have people in New York that are making the calls, essentially. So by the time they say we're going to challenge the play, by the time the guy goes and gets the headset on, by the time they get the stupid little pad in front of them, the guy in New York should have an answer. Like you said, it should be bang, bang. And whatever he says goes. It doesn't matter if we look at 70 more camera angles. He should have looked at them all already. You make the call. We move on. It really should not be complicated. I agree with you 100%. I don't understand what the big deal is, because they have the same cameras we have. If we can figure out at home in like one or two shots at the same time, why can't they? It's mind-boggling that it takes 8 minutes. I don't know what they're possibly looking at for 8 minutes. Like, I know you and I, we watch things online that it take less than 8 minutes. That should take less than 8 minutes.
Right. I mean, that's a big chunk of this section of this show is eight minutes. So I don't know. I don't know what they're possibly thinking. The most egregious one was, I don't know if you saw Thursday Night Football last week, but the Bucks and the Panthers game was just, Jerome Boger might be the worst head referee I've ever seen in my life. He couldn't figure anything out. I feel like someone had to go back and explain the rule to him. I just don't know what he's doing. So Thursday Night Football is always embarrassing, but it's even more embarrassing when you have a bad referee crew there. But let's burn through these games from last week and tell me what the impressions that you got were. Baltimore wins 23-17 over the Cardinals. What did you think of that one?
Two things. Lamar Jackson is very, very good, which we already knew, but I was very impressed with Kyler Murray, even in a losing situation, because there was pressure on him all day and he didn't waver. He sat there, he took it, and Kirk and Fitz are both going to be very, very viable the rest of the season.
How about the Bengals versus the Niners? 41-17, the Niners beat the Bengals. This was not a contest.
No, this was a bloodbath. And the most frustrating part is Shanahan's using multiple running backs again. There's three viable backs, at least two, Mostert and Breida. So that's going to be a challenge. But the Cincinnati passing game is still very, very good.
Then the Chargers and the Lions. The Lions wind up winning this one 13-10, low scoring affair.
Yeah, the Chargers head coach is a fool for having their punter as their kicker this week instead of hiring a new kicker. That's what lost them the game. So there you go.
How about the Packers 21 over the Vikings 16?
Two things. Dalvin Cook is just a dynamite monster. They're going to keep feeding time and time again. And this Green Bay defense, I know it's only two games, might actually be pretty good, this new revamped defense.
I mean, Rodgers was grinning ear to ear about it in week one. So we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, I mean, that game was low scoring, but Cook had that one breakout. So that was good for Cook owners. Houston 13, Jacksonville 12.
Gardner Minshew still pretty awesome, even though he didn't crush it. But overall, surprising performance from Houston.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I thought was going to happen going into that game. You know, protect Watson. Patriots 43, Miami 0.
Surprised anybody, really? This is like, I'm surprised it wasn't worse, to be honest. I'm actually surprised, though, that the Dolphins just still can't score points. That I know they're not going to be great, but they can't score points. It's bad.
I think the Pats defense might be really, really good, too.
Yeah, so that could be good. That could be true, too.
Man, what a tough show they have this week against Luke Falk, too. How about the Bills 28 and the Giants 14?
John Brown and Josh Allen continue to be really good. And Josh Allen, he looks more and more like a quarterback instead of just a thrower these days. I was actually very impressed with that game.
Yeah, and Danny Dimes time. We'll get to that in a second here. Seattle 28, Pittsburgh 26.
The end of an era, possibly. More injuries with James Conner getting banged up. But Seattle, what we need to pay attention to is Chris Carson wasn't the complete workhorse this week, which was kind of surprising.
He had two fumbles. So
yeah,
not too shocking. And they were still going to him at the end a little bit. You know, if that would had happened in Pittsburgh, like Dante Moncrief, he would have been benched and shown back up. But how about the next game here? The Colts over the Titans, 19-17.
The Colts continue to be very good as a football team, fantasy wise, not so much, but it's kind of what I thought. Like, Brissett's not that bad. He's going to keep them in football games. And as long as they keep playing opponents like this, they'll be just fine.
Cowboys 31, Redskins 21.
Cowboys offense is legit. Talked about it last week. And Dak is going to have a big season. And oh, Miami's coming to town this weekend.
Kansas City 28, Oakland 10.
Patrick Mahomes can pretty much throw for as many yards as he wants. It's back-to-back weeks, I believe, of 300 plus in the first half. They didn't even score in the second half. He just kind of does. It's easy for him right now. It's crazy.
The Bears 16, Broncos 14.
A horrible display of football, especially the end of the game. They should have both just settled for a tie.
Oh, God.
That was bad football. Well, I guess Freeman Lindsay sharing time was very, very interesting.
I hate it. I hate that bit. The Rams 27, the Saints 9.
Drew Brees going down is a killer for this Saints team, like a team that had big NFC aspirations. And the way they used Alvin Kamara during that game was quite shocking to me. They didn't really use him in the passing game at all.
Atlanta 24, Philly 20.
The last like 4 minutes were good of this game. Otherwise, it was really sloppy. Matt Ryan, he just throws it up into some nasty coverage, but Julio's still probably one of the fastest, baddest men alive.
And then Cleveland 23 and the Jets 3.
Yeah, this was a bad. I can't decide yet if Baker is really as good as I thought he was because he doesn't look great. He kind of got bailed out on a kind of big play to OBJ. Otherwise, it was ugly.
Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously Simeon going down and Le'Veon Bell having the just ridiculous amount of touches. That can't keep up for the entire season, but no. We'll see how it gets mixed in. But let's turn our focus to this week, and we're going to start out in Green Bay with that new revamped defense, and Denver's heading into town. The Packers are 7.5-point favorites, and the over is 43 here. What do you think of this game?
I'm going to take Green Bay. I think this is one of those where their defense, because Denver's offense just doesn't do it for me. So give me Green Bay and the under on this one.
I like that call for sure. Aaron Jones touches. Now, you know, LaFleur said that he wanted to even it up between him and Jamal Williams. So I'm going to set it at 15. I believe he had 27. I think it was 27-9. The touch rate was last week, or 24-9, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I put it at 15 for Aaron Jones.
I'll still take the over in this one. I don't like the idea of having him splitting with Jamal Williams, but I think Jones is the better back, and LaFleur has to wisen up to that. We know Rodgers likes Jones a lot, so I'll take the over.
Man, I mean, this is just like, I'm sorry, everybody, that KC says the same stuff that I say, but, you know, we have the same great minds think alike here. So
yeah, there we go.
Joe Flacco passing yards, 215.
I'll take the under. You're going to throw so many screens and slants to Emmanuel Sanders. I'll take the under.
Yeah, and Cortland Sutton coming in with bruised ribs on this one. We'll see if that limits his playing time at all. Manny Sanders receiving yards, I set at 85.
This is a great number because he's had back-to-back big weeks. Flacco looks to him a lot in that short intermediate passing game. I could see him getting like 7 for like 80. It's going to be real close. I'll take the under, but that's a really solid line you have there.
I appreciate it. Yeah, this one's tough. He had all the catches last week, so I set it a little bit higher because I think, like you said, I think he's going to get 6, 7, 8 catches somewhere in that neighborhood. That should be good for 100 yards for most people, but
playing hope
on the road against a tough defense, I just don't know. How about Detroit at Philly? Philly's favored by 6, and the over is 46.
I'll take Philadelphia coming back home against a slightly banged up Detroit secondary. Give me Philly and the under.
Philly in the under. Kerryon Johnson, I put combined yards. I set it at 80 because Philly's a tough defense, but that's what he got last week, and they cut C.J. Anderson. I think it's more because they like Ty Johnson than they hated C.J. Anderson or anything, and I just don't know. I don't know that there's a big difference between C.J. Anderson and Paul Perkins, but I would take the experience of C.J. Anderson, but for whatever reason, he's gone. What do you think of that number, 80 total yards for Kerryon?
I would love it to be an easy over, but I'm going to take the under just because I think they'll be passing a lot, and I just don't think they really like to use Kerryon. It's really baffling to me.
Yeah, it's. I think they just want to cut it down the middle. You know, they want they want Kerryon to get half, and then the combination of the rest of the backs to get half as well. It's kind of a broke version of what the Vikings want to do with Madison and Cook, although they're giving Cook all of the carries right now. I mean, but that's to be expected. It's like the Aaron Jones thing. When, you know, you have a better back, you're going to play the better back. How about Nelson Aguilar receptions? I set it at 5 this week.
Yeah, no D-Jax, no Alshon Jeffrey. We saw what you did on Sunday night. It seems pretty simple because everyone's talking it up, but I'll take the over. Wentz was going to him early and often. We saw his target share up to, it was almost 22% when Jeffrey hasn't been on the field in years past, so he'll get his.
How about Kenny Golladay receiving yards? I set it at 65 here. You know, Philly looked terrible against Atlanta. That was on the road, though. And, you know, Kenny Golladay is really, really, he's a good wideout, but he ain't Julio Jones. So what do you think about Kenny Golladay receiving yards at 65?
Well, this same Philadelphia defense got torched week one at home against the Skins. Golladay looked great last week. They're going to need to throw to keep up in this one in the second half. I'll take the over 65.
Over 65. All right. Well, we got two games in. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back and start rolling through these games. There are so many fun ones this week, but stick right here, and we'll be right back.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Welcome back. It's the final hour of In This League on FNTSY. I'm here with my buddy, KC Bubba. KC, tell them about your Twitter and all the podcasts that you do.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric. Pretty easy to find me over there. Pretty active, talking about all kinds of nonsense and fantasy sports. And then Bench with Bubba, like we said earlier, that's my flagship. That's my baby. Doing that 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the scheduling. I have DFS shows, baseball, football, golf over at fantasysportsdegens.com. And then I started up last week, first episode of the Fantrax DFS show over there. We'll be recording that one shortly for the week 3 action with a special guest week to week there. So lots of stuff going on over in my little neck of the woods. And thanks for having me. As always, I'm having fun doing this weekly with you.
I mean, I could do this all day long. These are fun shows. And what, you know, as much as I lament my football love, I still love it. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things, you know. It's like the guy that can't get over his wife that divorced him. So
I can't quit you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. I wish I could quit you, football, but I cannot. In the game of the week here, we're rolling into Baltimore at Kansas City. Kansas City, a 6.5 point favorite. 52.5 is the over on this game. Surprisingly, the game didn't hit the over for the Ravens last week or the Chiefs. So, you know, I guess we need to pump the brakes a little bit on the outpouring, but mainly it's because for the Chiefs, it was because they scored too fast and they didn't need to put up a bunch of points because Oakland just couldn't get their S together at all. So what do you think about this Baltimore and KC game here?
Well, real quick, that Kansas City, Oakland, there were 0 points scored the second half for either team. That was ridiculous.
Yep.
And crazy. But for this one, I'm taking Kansas City. I really like Baltimore. I like what Lamar Jackson's doing here. But this is a whole different animal. This environment on the road in that stadium, you're going to really see what Lamar Jackson's got there. He's not going to be able to run for his life all day. It'll eventually catch up to him. And then that defense is banged up in Baltimore. Mahomes will throw all over them. I'm still going to take the over, but I got Kansas City. Let's call it 34-27, something like that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, a touchdown gets it. So yep. I'm with you. And I know I've told this stat a bunch of times, so I apologize if people have heard it before, but Lamar Jackson in college, I don't know how much you watched of him at Louisville, but he had the number one and number two fantasy seasons ever as far as high scores go in college fantasy football. And the CFF site put it together, I think it was last year. I think it might have been in the draft guide again this year. But Barry Sanders, you know, his 30 touchdown season was number one for a long time until Lamar Jackson was throwing for 3,000 and running for 1,500, 1,600 yards. So and he's not close to Patrick Mahomes yet. So it should be a lot of fun to watch this game. I put DeMarcus Robinson receiving yards here at 60. What do you think of that line?
I'm going to take the under. Everyone is going to say DeMarcus Robinson, DeMarcus Robinson. Let's not forget Sammy Watkins was still targeted 13 times, only caught 6 balls. That could have been another Sammy Watkins game, and it will be again this week.
Yeah, I mean, I like the 60 yards because, you know, I was kind of poo-pooing DeMarcus Robinson for a little bit, but, you know, him and Hardman and Watkins were by far the leaders in snaps. So I think that he could do 60. I think I would take the over, but not by a lot. I think like 65-ish is probably around where it is. Mark Andrews receptions, I put at 6.
This one, I'm going to take the over, but I am worried that he's basically, I'm not going to say he's like a mini Travis Kelce. So if any team can game plan on how to stop a mini Travis Kelce, it would be the Chiefs. But I'm going to take the over because we've already seen Lamar loves him some Mark Andrews, and he's going to feed it to him over and over again.
You heard it here first. Bubba says that Mark Andrews is the next Travis Kelce. Everybody heard that, right?
Yep. That's exactly what I said. The next Travis Kelce. Yep.
How about Patrick Mahomes passing yards? 325.
Just for the first half of the game. I'm just kidding. give me the over. He's passing at will these days. It's ridiculous. If he goes under, anything can happen, but that would require healthy running backs, which they don't have right now. So I'm going over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hesitant. Are you getting Darwin in on like DFS lineups and stuff? Is he coming cheap?
That's a big debate right now. That's a big topic with the latest news that's been coming out this week. He's only like $3,000 this week on DraftKings, so he's super cheap. If he's going to be chalk, but it's good chalk, if that makes sense to anybody that does play DFS. So if we get the news that, you know, Damien Williams is out, LeSean McCoy's out, or one's out and one's banged up, whatever, where we know Darwin's going to get a much bigger role, 3K is not shabby at all on DraftKings, and he's a good play this week for sure.
I think in a big tournament, I don't think I'd play him because I'd be afraid of so many people that have him, right?
Yeah, in a tournament, but a tournament, yes, I see your logic. They're like in the millionaire maker or something. But if you're playing cash, that's like the free square. You just throw him in and go.
Okay. How about the we move on from that exciting game to Cincinnati at Buffalo. Oh, Buffalo's favored by 6. The over is 44 here.
Is it scary that I kind of look forward to this game because I'm starting to like both these teams, like for fantasy relevance wise? I'll take Cincinnati and the over in this one.
Cincinnati and the over. Okay.
Yeah. Because I like the passing game with Cincinnati. Ross and Boyd doing their thing. And then Allen's becoming better and better. I'm buying in on this.
I see. For me, I think this is going to be a rude awakening for Cincinnati. So.
Buffalo's going to stomp them.
I think Buffalo's going to stomp them. I think
is this your Steelers hate or is this you?
Look, that always factors in a little bit, but I also think it's because I see more of Cincinnati than, you know, a lot of people that aren't Bengals fans see them, you know, and I've seen Andy Dalton can look like a world beater from week to week. And maybe this is the Zach Taylor offense and I'm being a silly goose here, but I think that, you know, Andy Dalton is going to revert back to normal Andy Dalton. And once teams get a couple longer looks at the plays that are being called here, you know, they're going to have a better a sense of what to expect going in. And I think that this is the rude awakening for the Bengals. And, you know, if last week wasn't rude enough, they lost 41-17. So, you know, to the Niners at home. So they're not good. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Andy Dalton fan. And I think Andy Dalton to me is like your baseline quarterback. He's like, if you're worse than Andy Dalton, you can't start in the NFL.
So do you like Matt Stafford more than Andy Dalton?
Yes.
Okay. I like to think they're like very similar. So that's what I was wondering.
I just think that Stafford hasn't had the weapons that, you know, outside of Calvin, you know, and when he had Calvin, he was putting up 5,000 yard seasons, you know.
Well, he had like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate there for a little while. That was at least a decent 1-2 punch.
Yeah. And I guess they're both pretty much disappointing.
They both underachieved from what we expected from college. That's what I would go with.
And I would say Stafford underachieved more because he was a much higher pick and much more hyped than Andy Dalton coming out of TCU. You know, Stafford coming out of Georgia, people were comparing his arm strength to John Elway. So I think Stafford has probably disappointed more, but I think Andy Dalton has done less with the same amount. So
that's fair.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't want either one of them, but if I had to choose, it'd be Stafford. How about John Brown receiving yards? I got an 85 here. He has been the far and away number one for Buffalo so far.
I'm going to take the over. If I'm taking the over in this game, that means John Brown and Josh Allen will connect. So give me the over.
John Ross receptions. I put at 5 here.
Over as well there. Ross and Boyd will both get over 5 catches this week.
This one is a little different. Josh Allen, total yards. So let's throw his receiving yards on, or his receiving yards, his rushing yards and his receiving yards on top of his passing yards.
I'll take the over. When you put total yards on there, if it was just passing, I'd probably go under, but I'll take the over for total yards.
Now that's either going to be all green or all red next week, this one.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to have a fun conversation on that one next week.
How about the Falcons going on the road at the Colts? The Colts are a 1.5-point favorite, and the over is 47 here.
I'm going to take the Colts. I know everyone's going to want to take the Falcons because they think their offense is better. I'm taking the Colts and the under in this one.
Yeah, I think if you take the Colts, you got to take the under, right?
You need an ugly, low-scoring game where Brissett kind of game manager, as much as I hate that term, that's what he's going to have to do.
Now, let me ask you this, because I picked up Brissett in a couple spots this week, and it's because I had, I think, 6 shares of Ben Roethlisberger. So, you know, such is life. I have to go. I'm picking up Mason Rudolph. I'm picking up Danny Dimes. I'm picking up Jacoby Brissett. Which one would you start between Mason Rudolph against the Niners, Jacoby Brissett against Atlanta here, or Daniel Jones at Tampa Bay?
I'm like sneakily starting to enjoy Daniel Jones as an option this week. I'm trying to like at least tell myself it's not just the preseason. It's more me wanting to pick on Tampa Bay. Like that team's bad. I know we kind of mentioned the Thursday night football game. That was just bad football. I don't know. Maybe like that was just really bad.
And that was Cam with a piss poor attitude and an injury. To be honest,
not using CMC. Like that whole game plan was just bizarre. I really want to play Jones. I wouldn't be shocked if Rudolph's not that bad though, because he actually looked good. I think I even tweeted it out on Sunday. It wasn't like a slight on Big Ben, but the way they were bringing so much pressure in there. Ben's not mobile anymore. He's just like a standing target. Rudolph can move, and all of a sudden the offense started moving. I'm going to go Jones, though. That was your question. I'll go Jones, but it's 3 really interesting options. I'd probably have Brissett last.
And what I've done in a couple leagues is, where I've added Mason Rudolph, I also go and I preemptively pick up Daniel Jones because right now he's free. You know, and if you were the guy that was holding on to Ben and these are your options, you're in a 14, you're in a 16 man league because you have some other options. You know, I mean, I don't know. Would you take Dalton or Bridgewater over those guys?
I would take Dalton, but I think we've already established my love for Dalton and your love for Dalton are 2 different things right now.
Right.
But I would take Dalton still because I do think this is a new offense. I believe where it's going. I know it's only been 2 weeks, but I believe that. And you mentioned with Jones and Rudolph, I think you need to go be aggressive on them, like you said, because they should have the job the whole year. These other guys, Bridgewater, you know, if things work right, Breeze will come back sometime this year. Then Bridgewater loses his job immediately. Right. So things to think about there too.
Julio Jones, I set the receiving yards at 100.
I'm going to take the under since I'm taking the under in the game. Julio, he'll get his, but I don't even think he had 100 Sunday night besides that one big play. So I'll take the under.
This one's tougher because I put Marlon Mack rushing yards at 70, but I'm not 100% sure that Marlon Mack is going to play now in this game. So let's change this one up. Let's go T.Y. Hilton receiving yards, and I'll set it at, let's go with 70.
That's a good one. I'll take the over.
Over on
T.Y. yards. Hilton over 70. Yeah, I'll take the over. He'll have like 80, 85.
I like that. And he's looked good. And it's been tough as far as the Colts offense goes. You know, Paris Campbell scored a touchdown last week, so everyone was excited about that. But he also only got like 18 snaps. And Hines has been terrible as far as the snap counts go. He had like 14. And it's funny because I have a bet with one of my ITL Army members about Nyheim Hines versus Alexander Mattison, a point scored in a PPR league. And we're both just huge losers right now. So I don't know what has to happen. I guess Mac going down is going to help for Hines, but Cook has the injury history too. So
sorry, I have to say it because it sticks in my mind every time. And this is a bad little pivot here. Every time I hear Alexander Mattison, I want to start singing Alexander Hamilton from the play. For anybody listening, if anybody has any Photoshop skills or something, can someone please put Madison's face on the Hamilton logo? I would really appreciate that.
I think we can get that done. I got a guy. So
for some reason, it's like stuck in my head. Every time I hear that name, it's like I start singing it.
I got a guy. I think I can make that happen. So Matt Ryan pass yards, last one on this game, 300 is what I set it at.
I'm going to take the over, and he's going to throw two picks.
Oh, 302 picks.
No, I'm at the under. I'm at the under. Sorry.
Under two picks.
Two picks, yes.
Okay.
He was ugly on Sunday night.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't good. I mean, it was enough to win, but it wasn't. Like you said, that game was a snoozer until the last 10 minutes. So it really was. It was just a bunch of guys getting hurt, to be honest with you.
Poor Philadelphia. My goodness.
Yeah, it's already it's a thing. Oakland and Minnesota here. The Vikings favored by 9. 43.5 is the over.
Yeah, this one's crazy. I know Minnesota's a different animal in their building. And Oakland, you know, we saw what happened last week. I'm going to take Oakland plus 9. I don't feel great about it, but I'm taking Oakland plus 9, and I'll take the under on this one.
Yeah, I don't have a great feel for this game either because I don't know what Oakland is, the real Oakland, right? They're both home games, and they looked really good in one and really bad in the other. And I know, obviously, Denver versus Kansas City are, you know, different animals, different opponents, however you want to break it down. But they just look night and day different. And it could be one of those things where they had the whole offseason to prep for this Broncos game. They came out firing and they look good. But I don't know what to expect here. So this game I would probably stay away from as far as betting. How about Dalvin Cook total yards? I set it at 120.
I'm going over. I don't see – the reason I kind of like the under in this game is I think Cook and even Jacobs, we'll get to him in a minute. I think Cook's going to get a ton of touches in this game and he'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, you know – all he needs is one big break. So,
which he's doing once or twice a game right now.
Does he, is he the new Jamal Charles?
That's interesting. That's, he very well could be because if they keep using him in the passing game that way, it's very, very possible. Yeah. That's a good comp.
Yeah. I just, you know, a guy that maybe he gets 22 touches, but he doesn't need them, you know?
No.
I think 15 touches is probably what he needs a game, and that's that. So, how about Stephon Diggs receiving yards at 50?
I'll take the under. I don't like what I'm seeing in this passing game at all. Like I know he had a big touchdown called back and everything, but it's bad. And I think they're going to run the ball a lot this week. Madison might get a lot of touches.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. You know, Madison he hardly got anything last week, but they were losing. You know, they were losing the majority of the game. So why are you going to put Alexander Mattison in when Dalvin Cook is healthy? You know, Dalvin Cook hasn't been healthy in the past two seasons, really healthy. So play him when you have him. You know, I think that's kind of what you need to do. It didn't work. They still lost the game. But how about Josh Jacobs rushing yards? I said at 75. He is sick. He's coming in with an illness. He said he's lost 10 pounds, but, you know, give him a couple days to get right before this game. And I think he could be okay. Plus all the fluids and everything. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, the pictures didn't look good. I think he'll be right. If he suits up, I'll take the over 75. They're going to want to run him a lot like they did on a Monday night game 2 weeks ago. Otherwise, you'll see a lot of Jalen Richard, which is a scary predicament to be in.
No, thank you. I'm fine. So maybe they should go pick up CJ Anderson. I don't know if he ain't going to play, but we'll see. But that is going to be that for this section. We're going to hit all the rest of these games when we come back right after this.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in this league.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's the last segment of In This League on FNTSY. I'm here with my buddy KC Bubba at BD Entrick on the Twitters. Go check out his podcast, Bench with Bubba. Check out all the stuff and things that we're all doing. Me and the Welsh and KC. You can find the Welsh and I over at InThisLeague.com, Patreon.com/ITL Army, all that good stuff. This game, Bubba, looks ugly. The Jets at New England, a 22.5 point home favorite for the Pats. 43.5 points is the over here. What do you do with this one?
I hate laying numbers this big, so I'm taking the Jets, but I'm taking the over. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a lot like Miami, but I think at least I actually don't hate Luke Falk as much as others do. But yeah, New England.
Yeah, it looked god awful on Monday night. It looked good, but you know, it didn't look like you know. I'm trying to think of someone just unbelievably terrible. I guess you know. Didn't look like Brian St. Pierre or anybody out there. So Josh Gordon receiving yards 60.
Josh Gordon, I'll take the under. Oh. I think this is a ground and pound game. By the way, they'll pass.
AB's taken away too.
So. Yeah, AB's taking a lot of them away. So as long as AB's out there and not in jail, then yeah, it's gonna be tough.
For now, right? We'll see. Yep. See how that plays out. Lev Bell total yards at 80.
I'll take the over. Like what we saw on Monday night, Scott, was ridiculous. How many times they just gave him the ball. He might not survive 16 games, but for now they're going to give him the ball a lot.
The Welsh said he can't wait till Bell requests a trade. Can you imagine?
Oh, that'll be crazy. But the Welsh was right. Like the attitude he has, like he was a nice team. He was a nice team player on Monday night. He was saying the right things and smiling, but you know, that's not going to last long.
Yeah. I mean, a couple more games just getting destroyed. Speaking of that, Luke Falk passing yards, I set at 200.
I'm going to take the over just because he might have to throw it like 55 times.
I mean, it's what he did at Washington State, him and Gardner Minshew.
That's why I don't hate these guys. I told people when he came in, I'm like, they're used to just winging it all over the place. They don't care if they throw a couple picks. They're fine.
Yeah, especially with, you know, you get a long, I mean, Falk especially, super long leash. I mean, I don't know how long it take Josh Dobbs to get up to speed in Jacksonville, but super long leash for Minshew. It should be too. Miami at Dallas. Dallas favored by 21.5. You know, only 8 games with 20-point spreads in, I think, since the 60s or something like that. And these are two of them on the same week. Your boys, 21.5 points. Can they beat that?
Give me Dallas and the over. Dallas will score 40-something by themselves. Dallas and the over.
Zeke total yards, 125.
Over. He's going to run for probably at least 150 this week. It's going to be a Zeke week.
Now, I say this because, you know, I promise I'm not being insulting. Cowboys defense points allowed, 7.
It's always good when you got to preface it like, I don't mean to be rude, but the Dolphins score 10 points this week.
Okay. So over 7. All right. Yes. I'm with you. So I think that that could definitely happen. And Randall Cobb receptions, no Michael Gallup in this game. But like you said, this one could get out of hand fairly quick. I put it at 5.
I'll take the under. It's going to be Cooper. It's going to be Zeke getting most of the work and a few other parts there, but under 5.
The Giants at the Bucks. The Bucks favored by 6.5, over 48.
Give me the Giants and the under.
Giants and the under. Danny Dimes pass yards. I set it at 300. Tampa Bay secondary is terrible.
They are terrible. Terrible, Chuck. I'll take the over.
Peyton Barber total yards is set at 75.
I'm going to take the under. Everyone's jumping on there saying, well, look, we did it on Thursday night. Yeah, I'll take the under.
OJ Howard PPR points. I set it 8.
Over. Don't panic, people. OJ Howard is the real deal. They'll figure it out.
I mean, Pizapia is losing it. He is all over buying OJ Howard wherever he possibly can.
You need to. Like in DFS, he's so cheap this week, it's stupid.
I just, you know, I saw the stat where he's on the field more, but they're having him run fewer routes. So he's actually running like 3.5 fewer routes while getting more snaps than he was last season. So I'm a little concerned about Howard moving forward. Somebody asked me today, Delanie Walker or OJ Howard. And I said, I think right now you have to say Walker.
Well, because Walker, you know what you're going to get there. So yeah, you could say that. I think Howard's got the higher ceiling though.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. They just got to get him involved. Yeah. Carolina at the Cardinals, Carolina by 2.5, over under 47.
Give me Arizona and the over.
AZ in the over, even with Kyle Allen, I like it. CMC total yards, 110.
Over. If they don't use him with Kyle Allen back there, you should fire Ron Rivera on the spot.
Kirk and Larry receptions combined, I put it at 12.
Over. They're getting so much target share right now, it's crazy.
David Johnson touches. He had a little bit of that wrist flare up again last week against Baltimore. I set it at 15.
I'm going to go under, but I might regret that one.
I think you're right. I think under is right. You want that guy healthy the whole season. If he's already not healthy now, it's dicey asking him to touch the ball that many times. How about New Orleans at Seattle? Seattle's favored by 4.5. The over's 45.
Seattle and the over.
Seattle and the over. Taysom Hill pass attempts. I set it at 5
because that's such an awesome prop.
We didn't get a definitive answer about quarterbacks or anything.
I love it because you would not be shocked if he gets like 3 series as the quarterback. I'm going to take the over just for fun on this one because I wouldn't be shocked.
I think it's ridiculous. I think that's Sean Payton being, you know, the smartest guy in the room and all that nonsense. I don't think you can do that. I don't think
you can. Why was he out there running routes when he's your backup quarterback now?
Yeah, exactly. And is he going to be on special teams again?
Yeah, that was just like, what are you guys doing?
Ugh. DK Metcalf, receiving yards, I set at 65 for this week.
Yeah, give me the over. This guy's the real deal. They're giving him a couple big play chances every game right now.
Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot, too. He's been he's been looking good. And I know, you know, he torched the Steelers last week for sure. I mean, he just made a good catch over Steven Nelson, but Terrell Edmonds is just the worst. I can't stand it. It's why we gave up a first round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick, that and Sean Davis, you know, getting hurt, obviously. But and I like Minka. Like, I don't think that could not work. I just think that was, you know, the Steelers trading a first round pick away the year.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, you got to root against the Steelers every week now. And so
it's going to make this so much more funny each week.
Oh, God. Chris Carson total yards, I set at 90.
I'll take the over. Like you said, he missed some time because of the fumbles, but they're going to get him back on track, especially at home favorite. They'll make it happen.
All right. How about Houston at the Chargers? The Chargers favored by 3, 47.5, the over here.
The Chargers and Chargers in the under. It's a very fun game. I'll take Chargers in the under.
Chargers in the under. Will Fuller receptions, I set at 5.
I'm going to go with over on this one. I think they try to incorporate him more into the game. They need to do something after last week.
Carlos Hyde rush yards, I said at 85. He had 20 rushes last week.
That was crazy. I'll still take the under, but that was not fun. But that was a game flow dictate type thing, like we talked about with Duke the week before. So, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins receiving yards against the Chargers banged up secondary. I put a 100.
I'm going to go under, but I'm going to regret that one. I have a feeling.
I mean, that's, you know, for Hopkins, It's
like five catches.
Yeah, five catches. I mean, he doesn't necessarily have, giant monster plays, but it's like every time he catches a ball, it's 25 yards. Yep, so he
gets it done.
Yeah, he really does. My Steelers at the Niners. The Welsh and I are at each other's throats this week. San Francisco is a 7-point favorite, and the over is 44 here.
Give me Pittsburgh and the over.
Pittsburgh and the over. Mason Rudolph passing yards, I said at 250.
Over, please.
Over. I love it. And then most PPR points between Breida, Mouse Fart, and Wilson.
It's still going to be Breida. Breida was like Kilmer's running back in Varsity Blues. He got him into the red zone, and they gave Mostert the ball or Wilson the ball. Breida will be the one that gets it done. He had the big plays in that game.
I got to tell you, I like the Breida pick makes the most sense, right? Even though Mostert looks the best, he looks better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And I'm just afraid of Wilson. I think
Wilson's a goal line back. He has to score touchdowns.
I know he has to score touchdowns, but I mean, he can. Pittsburgh's defense hasn't looked good. You know, they're incorporating Fitzpatrick here, but I tell you what, I love Devin Bush, and I think he's going to be real good. But
this is the week that Kittle goes off, so Wilson will get kind of taken away.
Yeah, I mean, Kittle, oh God.
He's due.
Well, he's due, and Devin Bush let Will Disley score two touchdowns last week. So I'm all over firing up Kittle wherever I possibly can here. Debo Samuel receptions, I'm going to set it at 5. This is a weird one because we know that Pettis only saw 2 snaps in the first game, but he was the second highest last week. Goodwin had more. I think it was 35, then Debo at 33, and then Richie James had more than Debo as well. But Debo was the guy that caught the ball and scored and looked better than anybody else. So Debo Samuel receptions at 5 this week.
I'm going to take the under just because it took almost 3 really good drives in the second half. I'll take the under on that one.
You're going to take the under because George Kittle is going to get every catch, right?
Yep. I'm thinking Kittle, then Breida, Mostert in the backfield. It's going to be one of those things.
How about the Rams at Cleveland? The Rams are 3-point favorites, 49, kind of a high over. There are some injuries, though. I mean, Aaron Donald being a big one. He is kind of 50-50. I think I would expect him to play, but it's one of those things. You never know early in the season. Do you want to burn out a guy early or risk getting him hurt? Sometimes it's better just to rest a dude for a week or two to get him 100% and ready to go. So Rams favored by 3 and 49, one of the higher overs of the week. What do you think here?
Yes, Sunday night football and good old Cleveland. I'd rest Aaron Donald if I was them. Give me Cleveland and the under.
Cleveland and the under. Are you taking Cleveland straight up then?
Yes. It's happening, Boggs. It's happening.
It ain't happening.
After the last week, we saw the Rams struggle in Carolina week 1. They're a different team on the road, Boggs. They're a different team on the road.
Yeah, I just don't know. I expect Cleveland to be good. They're probably still the best team in this division, especially now that Roethlisberger went down. But I don't know if they are. I don't know if they're put together enough yet to expect to win this game. But I like that you're going for it. Todd Gurley touches in this one. I set the over at 20.
It's going to be under. We saw it even last week. I only think he had 15, 16 touches or something.
19.
18. Yeah, they're really trying to monitor that pretty closely, so I'll take the under.
OBJ receiving yards. I set it at 80. He had an 80. He got all of that in one reception against the Jets with that 89-yard touchdown. But, obviously a taller task against the Rams.
Give me the over. There's not many other options they have in that receiving game right now.
Cooper Kupp receptions, they do have other options here. I set it at 6, though, because he's still Jared Goff's number one go-to.
Exactly. They have other options, but in Kupp's eyes, there's only one. Or in Goff's eyes, there's only one. That's Cooper Kupp. Give me the over.
Over. All right. This game, I'm liking that you had the stones to go with Cleveland here, and especially straight up. I'd be interested to see what where the action is in that game. But I don't know. I think I'm still going to take the Rams even on the road, but
I don't fault you for that, but I just I have a hunch on this one. Sunday night football, Cleveland. Who wants to be in Cleveland on Sunday night, really?
Oh, who wants to be in Cleveland?
Yeah, there we go. See, so you know the Rams, you go from Hollywood to Cleveland, like really?
They're just looking to get out of there. They're like, I've had enough. Let's get the hell out of here.
Come on, LeBron left. They don't want to be there.
How about the Bears at the Redskins on Monday Night Football? Chicago, only a 4-point favorite because they can't get the offense rolling yet. 41.5 is the over in this game.
Just another amazing Monday Night Football game we have here. give me the Redskins and the under. This is just bad football written all over it.
Washington at home and the under. I love it. David Montgomery, total yards. I put it at 60. Look, Washington is not a good team, but the defense plays well. So I, you know, and David Montgomery snap totals. It got better week two. Still not where we want it. I mean, I don't know. Denver's a tough defense, too, but I put it at 60 for total. Maybe I'm setting the bar too low. You tell me.
I'll take the over. Like it's probably the right number, the way they've been doing things and just how bad that offense is like, but I'll take the over.
Mitchell Trubisky passing yards. I set it at 225 here last week. I think I put it at 210. So I thought I had it low and he threw for like 120. So 225. One of the biggest arguments I've seen going on, you know, not only on Twitter, but also in our ITL GroupMe rooms is Trubisky any good? You know, and it's a question that we've had asked to us, you know, in our mailbag and stuff too. I like Trubisky and I think he's going to pull out of this. And I think Nagy's a great offensive coordinator. For whatever reason, it has been working so far this year. So 225, and then also let me know what you think about Trubisky.
I think Trubisky has shown signs of being good. We saw that last year in certain games. It's just, I think I've talked about it here or elsewhere. If it's a close game, they're not going to utilize him the way he can have a big game. It's just how they fill things out. So it doesn't look pretty when he's performing. I agree with you. I think he's good. Is he like great or anything? No, but he's good. And I'll take the over on this one. Give me the over. I think he throws it around enough against the Washington D. It's good, but not great.
Terry McLaurin receiving yards. He kind of came through last week as well. So, you know, we've been looking for a number one for Washington for a while. He came through 2 weeks in a row. I set it at 65 here.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that picked up McLaurin in their waiver wire earlier in the week. And at halftime, he had zero catches for 0 yards and zero touchdowns. And people are probably going, what analyst told me to pick this guy up? But then he goes off and has a nice game. I can get 5 and 62 in a score. He'll get over 65 in this game because between him, your boy Trey Quinn, they're still getting a lot of the target share. So McLaurin, he'll get his.
Yeah, and there's, you know, I mean, obviously Chris Thompson is mixing in there as well. But there's no Jordan Reed. And Vernon Davis is a good tight end. But
he got hurt again last week. He gets like he's fragile. He's old.
Yeah, he's old. Jordan Reed's old and hurt. I mean, there's just not many options. So you got to go with the young bucks there. I mean, Paul Richardson got a little more involved last week, but I'm over Paul Richardson. I'm sick of it.
Everyone should be over Paul Richardson. It's okay.
Even Paul Richardson should be over Paul Richardson. Do you have any sneaky DFS plays you're thinking of this week?
Sneaky DFS plays. I really like, I think Philadelphia is interesting. I think people might be kind of torn. They think with all the injuries, they can be fun. But sneaky wise, nothing that stands out just yet. That's like Captain Obvious. It's more waiting on injuries to see how that plays out because like Darwin Thompson could open things up and go back to Sammy Watkins, folks. Go back to Sammy Watkins, please.
I like
Emmanuel Sanders, cheap receiver, Emmanuel Sanders. There you go.
I like that one. I like that one a lot. 10 catches last week, but that is going to do it for us in this league on FNTSY. Remember, you can follow us on the Twitter at BDN Trick for Casey Bubba at Is It The Welsh for the Welsh at Bogman Sports for me and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. And we will see you guys next week. Good luck, everybody. Have a good day.